रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. आयुर्वेदिक कांड चैप्टर नंबर 44 सुमित्रा कंसोल्स कौशल्या. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. And to her, the mother of Rama, who thus bewailed her lot, spake Sumitra, ever centered in the observance of the highest dharma. Noble lady, I wonder how you can bring yourself to weep thus, seeing that you have been so blessed by the gods as to be the mother of Rama, the ideal man, on whom every excellence of body, mind and heart wait with humble devotion. It is all unmeet that you should give way to your grief thus violently. Is it not supremely absurd to think that danger or difficulty would ever cross the path of that Supreme One at any time or at any place? Of inconceivable might is your son, yet he has chosen to put away from him the crown that is his by every right to go into the woods, a voluntary exile. Know you why? Is it not that he might fulfill the dharma of obeying the behests of his sire, famed for his righteousness and truth? Is it not the highest dharma that is practiced by the good and the best? Is it not a sure guide to boundless bliss in the worlds on high? Then why grieve over him? My son, the soul of purity and utter compassion to all beings, my son Lakshmana practices with an unfaltering resolve the noble dharma of rendering joyful service to Rama and of evincing filial devotion to him. Inconceivably great is the good that will accrue to him by it. And Janaki, born to lead a life of happiness, comfort and luxury, has chosen to follow your righteous son to the woods, knowing full well by herself and from Rama the dangers and hardships of a forest life. Your son will raise aloft the banner of fame in the eyes of the present and future. Righteousness, truth and constancy form his will. And to such a one, what happiness is too high? What position is too lofty? Rama's greatness, nobility, might and utter purity of thought, word and deed are known best to the Lord of the Sun. He dare not so much as touch Rama with his rays too roughly. All of the merit laid up by me in my past births, I see with the open eye of wisdom that he who is known as Sri Rama, your son among men, is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I rendered humble service to him in my past births and was rewarded with unclouded vision. The sun rises with fear of him in his heart, say the Vedas, and he is ever on the lookout to render the Supreme Personality of Godhead every humble service possible. Is it not supremely absurd to think that the Lord of the day, who goes about his work with fear and trembling in his heart, would cause the slightest pain or discomfort to his Lord and Master, Sri Rama? Knows he not, and the other shining ones with him, that the glory and greatness of Rama, whom the Vedas Lord is beyond all sin, beyond all imperfection, the Lord of all, the innermost ruler of all, the Supreme Person, Lord Vayu would ever seek to fan him gently, laden with delicious and manifold scents and perfumes of the virgin forests. For, says not Shruti, Vayu blows with the fear of the Lord in his heart? The moon will seek to gladden your boy with her cool rays while he takes his rest under the forest trees, as fondly and lovingly as the fondest father. Brahma, who has, out of a gratified heart, instructed Rama in many a divine weapon, when Brahma went to the forest of Dandaka to besiege Vaijayanta, the capital of Asura Shambhara, and slew him in battle dire. That hero, protected by the might of his arm, will, I am sure, range the woods fearlessly and happy as if he were in his palace at Ayodhya. You need not fear that Bharata will impregnably strengthen himself in power before the return of Rama, who will again lose in consequence his kingdom. For whoever heard of anyone stand up to Rama in battle and live to tell it? And such a one, you say, will find it hard task to get back his kingdom. It is but the work of a moment for him to come into his own at the expiry of his term of exile. For his all-compelling, supernal beauty, his heroic valor before which his enemies bite the dust, and his inconceivable might would of themselves do it for him. Rama is the supreme soul of all. As such, the sun, the giver of light and life to the world, derives his life and light from Rama. Rama can consume to nothing the all-consuming god of fire. He is the sovereign lord of Brahma, whose sway extends over the myriad worlds. Lakshmi, the giver of peace and prosperity to all, derives her power and might from Rama. Mother Earth, the support of all, yet rests upon him. Fame, whom all seek, yet seeks him in humble reverence. The high gods who receive the worship and adoration of all, yet offer worship and adoration to Rama. Rama is the first and best of all beings. To Rama, thus endowed with every conceivable virtue and excellence, I see not any danger or discomfort in Ayodhya or in the gloomy forests. That ideal man will, at no distant time, be crowned at Ayodhya with his queens Bhudevi, the earth, Sita, and Vijayalakshmi, that is victory. Sita, who is but Lakshmi in mortal guise, has gone with Rama. And think you that the goddess of victory and power would seek any other? When the god-like prince, whose glory blinds his enemies on the battlefield, went away from this town, clad in the lowly garb of hermits, the citizens, one and all, wept their eyes blind and fainted away. But what lacks he, with Sita by his side, the bright deity of power and prosperity? What lacks he when there goes before him Lakshmana in warlike guise, my heroic boy, the prince of warriors? Of a truth, you will live to see him return from his exile. Grieve not for him. Cloud not your soul in dark ignorance where he is concerned. I speak but the veriest truth. You will live to see at no distant date your son dawning upon you like the refulgent moon in the cloudless sky and lay his head again at your feet in reverence. You will live to see the tears of joy stream down your cheeks when he is crowned in all pomp and glory, enhanced thousandfold by his victorious sojourn in the forests. Saw you any trace, nay, the slightest, of grief or sorrow or depression in him when he went away from us? No. So, Rama, with Lakshmana and Sita by his side, will come back to you safe and sound and happy. Weep not. Let grief find no place in your heart. We all look to you for comfort and consolation. And if you abandon us thus to uncontrolled grief, what would become of us? It is an inexplicable wonder to me that you should ever give way to sorrow when Rama calls you his mother. The boundless universe holds not a higher and nobler soul than Rama, whose feet ever walk in the path of the great and the good. I assure you, time and oft, that your sorrow-laden eyes will stream with tears of joy, even as the dark clouds pour down the welcome showers in winter, when Rama, Sita, and Lakshmana come back from their self-imposed exile and lay their heads at your feet. I will live to see the happy day when your glorious son, to whom all the world looks to fulfill the dearest wishes of the heart, comes back from the woods and with his strong and flower-soft hands clasp your feet in loving reverence. You will deluge his fair head with tears of joy like the surcharged clouds on mountain peaks when he and his friends humble themselves at your feet. Sumitra was an adept in bringing comfort and solace to the hearts of others with apt and well-chosen words. Free from all taint or imperfection, she sought to chase away the dark grief that clouded the heart of Kaushalya. Yet she was a queen of Dasharatha, even as Kaushalya. She had sent forth her son Lakshmana to the forests, all unsolicited, even as Kaushalya. Like her, she basked not in the favor and countenance of Dasharatha, their lord and husband. But there the comparison ends. Kaushalya wept and wailed and did her best to prevent Rama when he begged leave of her to go to the forest, while Sumitra grieved not when her son Lakshmana sought her presence to crave permission to accompany Rama. On the other hand, she gave him many a good counsel, consistent with duty and virtue, laid her commands on him to walk with all his might on the difficult and narrow path of service to the Lord that led to the goal of supreme good, and sent him forth with glad heart. Kaushalya was ever in mortal dread of the cruelty and hatred of Kaikeyi. Sumitra was an utter stranger to such apprehensions. Kaushalya ate her heart out at being excluded from the love of Dasharatha, whom Kaikeyi's fresh charms held in thrall. Such thoughts never found their way into the heart of Sumitra, whose perfect wisdom viewed alike joy and sorrow, friend and foe, praise and blame. Kaushalya was a thrice blessed mother of Rama, the Supreme Self, and yet was denied any insight into his real nature and greatness. Sumitra, with unclouded vision, knew Rama for what he is and rendered humble and joyful service unto him. Hence, Sumitra's words gradually sank into the heart of Kaushalya and chased away the grief that consumed her body and darkened her soul, even as the pale clouds in autumn which the light gale dissolves to nothing. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarvabhaumaya Mangalam.